Right. Good morning, Josh.
G'day, boys.
How is it, mate? You're sort of better down in camp with these lads, or close enough to it?
Yeah, no, in the same facility. They've moved camp from Coffs Harbour up here to Kingscliff, just within speaking distance of the Queensland border, really. It's a really nice facility, right on the beach. I don't want to make people feel too bad in the winter on Sydney's doorsteps, but let's just say the water is still very swimmable.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, no. Change of location, just mixing it up, really, for Laurie Daly and the Blues. And, geez, they're starting to talk about, well, Gal told us on, it was an end of an era for Queensland. It's time, Josh. There's that feeling, but they've got to get the job done.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And hasn't Laurie Daly been good in making that clear? What I've found interesting in previous years is when they've routinely lost the first game, all the talk straight afterwards is, no, we've got to stick solid. We've got to be loyal. We've got to pick the same team. Because routinely, they, if you think about it, the first game is very dour. And New South Wales have only lost it by 1 or 2 points, just with Cooper Cronk, you know, routinely just slotting over a field goal of Queensland, just showing that game management and composure to win. This time round, Laurie Daly has said, no, if we lose game one, there's going to be changes. There's going to be some adjustments, because Laurie now feels like he's got a pool of around 20 to 22 players that are now good enough to play Origin. So that's put the heat right on the Blues. And, yeah, one series win from the last 11, yeah, simply not good enough. And for Laurie Daly as well, remember, he's off contract at the end of this year, so his job also on the line.
Yeah, look, so much talk about Jonathan Thurston. Is he going to play?
That's a genuine 50-50, Slats. Earlier in the week, I was probably agreeing with Daly that it was all a bit of a joke, all that he'd definitely play. Look, I still think he will. His powers of recovery are absolutely incredible. You sort of look back to last week when he came down to Sydney with the Cowboys for a bit of a clue. Why did he do that? He was absolutely no chance of playing with them. And he did have an eye to this week when he made that decision to come to Sydney. He did some extra training and conditioning with the Cowboys. So obviously Jonathan Thurston not wanting to skip a beat with that trip as well. And he told friends down in Sydney that all he needed to do really was get the strength back in the shoulder. But that's a bit of an unknown process. And at the moment, he still hasn't got it to the required level. I'm being told it's not coming along quite as quickly as he might want it to. So at the moment, Jonathan Thurston in a bit of doubt. And you'd like to think that he's probably got to make a decision by the weekend, because it's a bad position to put Anthony Milford in, that if he only knows in his mind that he's going to be running out there a day or two before the game, is that enough time for him to mentally prepare?
Well, what about this battle between Kevvy Walters and Wayne Bennett? I'm actually quite finding it fascinating, mate, the ploy of naming Milford in the starting 13, which means he's had to be released by Brisbane. They've got the game across the ditch against the Warriors, and if there's no decision on Thurston until Sunday, Milford will miss that game for Brisbane.
Yeah, and look, this again highlights the farce of us not having standalone Origin weekends, that we're in this situation where a club basically, the Origin team basically has to pull a Swifty like this to get a player on standby who is a genuine chance to play, because the guy who should be playing is only a 50-50. I spoke to Laurie Daly earlier in the week, and he's been in this situation before with New South Wales, where, and now he's gotten to the point where when he thinks of Caddo players, well, he doesn't want to really pick them from clubs that are playing on that weekend, and that limits his selection scope, which is a joke, because this is the jewel in the crown of the game. And the other thing it highlights is the fact that you cannot have club coaches who are Origin coaches either. If either Wayne Bennett or Paul Green were coaching Queensland, then would they put Queensland's interests first over their employer who lines their pockets with $800,000 or $1 million? Would Paul Green seriously risk Jonathan Thurston next Wednesday night, knowing he could suffer a season-ending injury and basically blow the Cowboys' chances of any making the top eight, the top four, winning the comp to smithereens?
Now, Jake Trbojevic, he's well-deserved of this selection, but he's a decent human being as well, they reckon.
Oh, mate, he's one of my favourites, Jake Trbojevic. Every time you interview him, basically he apologises if he hasn't given you enough. He stands there and asks you if you'd like to ask more questions. I've never come across anything like it before.
That'll stop, Josh. A couple more years, that'll stop.
I hope not, because he can play.
I've never seen a player start like that, and he's been around for 3 or 4 years, and he's still as polite as ever. Quite an amazing kid, quite an amazing background. I've got a bit of, I call it naive after 13, 14 years of this game, but I've got a bit of faith in this kid. So let me tell you a story that'll even warm your heart. After the Anzac test down in Canberra, he hopped in the car first thing Saturday morning, raced back up to Sydney to Leichhardt Oval to run the water for Manly's Harold Matthews team.
Yeah, good stuff.
Obviously received no payment. His little brother, Ben, was playing in that side. That's how much he loves his footy. He gets out to Mona Vale, his local junior club, midweek. He helps coach the under-16s. And believe it or not, on the weekends, he's also known to jump into the box there at the Mona Vale footy ground and do a bit of ground announcing as well. So he's got it all. He just loves footy, this kid. And geez, he can play it as well. He hits so well. I'm really looking forward to him making his debut next Wednesday.
Mate, yeah. All those unfortunate highlights regarding Bryce Cartwright to start the season, then his matches back, he's had injuries, his matches back have been unspectacular in my opinion. Where's he at? I mean, unfortunately, he's back on the sidelines. This is a real tale of woe for Bryce Cartwright.
Yeah, Penrith had their fingers crossed. He did a knee injury against the Knights on the weekend, and Penrith had their fingers crossed that it wouldn't require surgery. Well, it does. He found that out yesterday, and so probably the best-case scenario for Bryce Cartwright is 6 weeks on the sideline, but it could be worse. So it seems like he just can't catch a break at the moment, and you're right, those sort of horrible headlines at the start of the year just seem to be the start of what is a pretty horror season for Bryce Cartwright. You talk to people at Penrith and definitely that messed with his head a fair bit, and he just seems a million miles away, both on and off the paddock of the player he was last year, and someone that we probably all would have bet pretty heavily was a huge chance of being here with us at the Blues this week.
And Mitchell Pearce, talk about focus this year. We know his woes of previous seasons, particularly last year, Josh, but he's reaching out to Greg Inglis.
Yeah. Obviously, Mitchell Pearce was probably Darius Boyd. You've got to give credit where credit is due. Was the player that probably blazed the trail for Stars to put their hands up and seek help. But I think no one did it as well or benefited from it as well as Darius Boyd. But Mitchell Pearce wasn't far behind him. And talking to Mitchell on Monday about Greg Inglis, you know, he was very vocal about GI's plight. And he was heartened to see that other players have gone in his footsteps. Obviously, for Mitchell, that was, if you remember that press conference he gave in the park there at Surry Hills in early 2016, that was a highly humiliating experience for him. I just wonder 12 months later whether it would be quite as humiliating for other players now that trail has been blazed. And Mitchell Pearce, yeah, had some very nice things to say about Greg Inglis, wished him all his best, which is nice considering that this time of year they'd normally be bitter enemies. Of course, Mitchell Pearce around camp, totally relaxed. Totally happy, doesn't seem tense at all. Whenever he passes you in a hallway or the foyer, gives the thumbs up, stops and chats. He's always been a really, really personable kid, Mitchell Pearce. And I just hope, you know, from what I can detect, that the pressure hasn't been too bad. But look, there is a bit of weight on his shoulders because the way Laurie Daly has changed this team, it is Mitchell Pearce's team, given the style of the hooker that he'll get good service off the ground. And so there's really no excuses come Wednesday night. We're going to see Mitchell Pearce at his best.
Mate, just on Dugan's still coming back from that fractured eye socket. Is he expected to be played? Has he done any sort of contact work? I mean, it's hard to get up there and hit a bloke in the face, isn't it? But he's expected to be okay.
That's why they put him in camp, so that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, that's right. We hope.
They had a light session yesterday, and he said himself, he wouldn't work himself back into contact until probably Saturday. So still waiting to see how that goes. But I suppose he talks to the doctor and you've got a metal plate in your face and it should, by definition, be stronger. But I suppose talking to other players who've suffered this injury previous, that first tackle is pretty terrifying. But once you're through that, you're confident. He's supremely confident that he's going to play. I suppose a little doubt in the minds of New South Wales coaching staff would have been this time last year, he had an elbow problem. He was in exactly the same position. And on the Sunday, he ruled himself out after aggravating a training. So they're a little bit once bitten, twice shy on that one. And that's why Matty Moylan is going to be in camp for the whole time. If Dugan, by any reason, is ruled out, you'll see Jack Bird coming to the centres and Moylan slot onto the bench as the utility.
A lot of interest in Jared Haynes' deadline to extend for this $1.2 million offer. What do you think he'll do, Josh?
Yeah, look, I think if he could have gotten an offer from a Sydney club, I think he would have come back to Sydney, given he's got a child now and his family are on Sydney and the Central Coast. But that doesn't seem to be in the mix at all at the moment. It's that deadline is only, what, 5 or 6 days away now. And Jarryd Hayne, speaking on Monday, said yeah, he was enjoying life on the Gold Coast and that, you know, you'll most probably stay. And with 1.2 million reasons to do so, why wouldn't you for just an extra 12 months? So, but boys, it's Jarryd Hayne, you know. At the 11th hour, he's surprised us plenty of times. So
he has good dreams, doesn't he?
He has good dreams.
He has dreams, and yeah. Sadly, they guide him. You know, I woke up this morning without an insight into any of them. So, but as it stands now, it looks like the logical thing to do would be to stay at the Gold Coast. And I think you'll see Nathan Peake do the same thing as well. Speaking to his dad this week, he was very confident that Peake would stay on the Gold Coast with a second baby due in just a couple of weeks.
I reckon he dreams are right at night, Jarryd. Every morning he wakes up knowing I've got $1.2 million in the bank a year. Yeah. It's not a bad dream.
Yeah, to relax you a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see if it works this week. Alex, you've got a question for Josh. Go for it.
How you going, Josh?
Yeah, good, Alex.
Yeah, you're talking about Anthony Milford and Wayne Bennett not happy about him missing the game because they haven't decided whether Thurston's in or not. Last year that happened to the Dogs with Josh Morris right on game day. Mm. He was pulled out of the Dogs side to go play for New South Wales and Hasler complained about it as well at the time. You said standalone weekend for Origin. I'm fine with that, but are you talking about all three Origins?
Yeah, 100%. These are the farcical situations that could be avoided. And really, I mean, club football at this time of year, it's just reduced to a complete sideshow to the Origin build-up, and it gets worse as the series goes along, particularly as there's attrition with players. And there's also more interest as it builds up towards, generally, we get a decider. So I've never been a supporter of club football during the term, Alex. And what I didn't understand as well was that all the players in the RLPA were saying that they weren't either. But then they went off and agreed to a new five-year broadcast deal in 2015 that locks this ridiculous system in until 2022. So we keep on complaining about these little spot fires. But we do nothing about it. And we've also got player welfare as a concern as well, where I think everyone would deserve a rest for 3 weekends a year in the middle of the season.
Thank you, Alex, for your call. Chris is also on the line. Josh Masood from the Seventh Tackle is with us. Hi, Chris.
How you going? Hey, Josh, can I ask you a question regarding Bob Catter's comments? Now, we always talk about the association between sport and politics and how they're too closely linked. This guy obviously... Billy's from Innisfail. Yeah. He thinks he may be picking up a few political points. I don't know what Bob Catter's doing, but is it incumbent upon you sort of guys to come down hard, irrespective of if the politicians from New South Wales or Queensland, should they be sticking their head in and doing this sort of thing?
Well, it was remarkable that he got the player's name right. I mean, generally, when you hear politicians from New South Wales, Queensland, or God help us, Victoria, they mispronounce the name. Oh, look... They trade on a couple of cheap and easy points by talking about this type of stuff. No, they probably shouldn't be involved unless they've played the game. But hang on a minute. Those that have, like Glenn Lazarus and Mal Meninga, the shortest political career in history, probably haven't covered themselves in glory either. So, yeah, I think you're right on that one, mate. They should stick their nose right out of it.
Chris, the bloke's a goose. I mean...
Come on, Terry.
And I think when you continually prove yourself to be a goose... People don't take too much notice of you, do they?
Well, he's demanded an explanation, hasn't he? Well, I mean, what does he expect?
But does he really think anyone gives a rat's what he thinks?
Well, I don't know.
He does.
He probably does. He's Bob, but I mean...
Hold on, Chris. He says Darius Boy wouldn't know what a line break was if he fell over it on a dark night.
Yeah.
So quite clearly, I don't think he's watched football for about 20 years.
So I think it's incumbent upon people like Josh to actually come out and criticise this guy and tell him to keep his big fat head out of it because it's got nothing to do with him.
Why would you give him oxygen?
Well, you guys have because he was on your news.
You've rung up and now we've spent the last 3 minutes talking about the goose.
Because I heard about it on your news.
Good on you, Chris.
Good on you, Chris. Bye. Josh, fantastic again, mate. Love this segment and enjoy the week. And we'll talk after the game next week.
Will do, boys. Can't wait.